Praise the Lord. So we've started off on a good note, isn't it? For those who were around yesterday, we've started off on a good note. And we just keep filling up. Amen. We keep filling up. Hallelujah. You know, so and yesterday, let me read Jeremiah 29 to you. Jeremiah 29 from verse 11. I always like to remind people that the book of Jeremiah, and particularly chapter 29, was written to people who were captives. Okay, so when we quote certain things there, remember that God said those things when they were still in captivity. He didn't wait for things to change. It didn't matter what their circumstances were when God was saying the things that he said to them. So here it says in Jeremiah 29, 11, God says what? For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. So things are not working. God says, I know the thoughts that I think. You know, we like to quote that one, isn't it? But God was saying it when they were in slavery. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I have towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then he says, you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. And verse 13 says, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Let somebody say, with all of your heart. So we started off yesterday, and I posed a question to you, basically, which is what? What is your end game? Amen. What's your end game? What are you in this for? What are you after God for? Where are you going with your Christianity? Amen. And we discovered that by biblical standards is that you become like Christ. That's the biblical standard. That's the goal. That's where we're going. Okay? So the psalmist said in Psalm 17, verse 15, he said, I will see your face in righteousness, and I will be satisfied when I become like you. Hallelujah. So the end game, my end game, your end game should be like the psalmist, which is I will be satisfied when I become like God. And we know that he expects us to live like Christ lives, lived according to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. If you say that you abide in him, you say that you're a Christian, you say you are born again, you say you are tongue-talking, he said, then you ought to walk as he walked. You ought to conduct yourself. You ought to live the way he lived. So you should be like God personified on the earth. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. And then we said that that cannot be achieved if there is no spiritual hunger. If there is no hunger that pushes you and makes a God chaser out of you. If you are easily satisfied with the things of God, then you are not going to go very far. Because how much of God you have or experience is how much of God you want. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So we hope and we trust that in these 4 days, starting yesterday, so if you just came today, now one less. So in these 3 days, you will develop a hunger for God that will be insatiable, that you will not be able to satisfy it ever in your life. You will keep chasing after God. The more of him you know. You know that song, the more I want to know, you know. That's exactly what the experience should be like. Hallelujah. You know, in recent times, I've actually been wondering to myself, how much of the scriptures do I know? Because I'm seeing so many things and I'm thinking, okay, what do I really know? You know, the depth of God is amazing. Unsearchable, the scripture says, the unsearchable riches of Christ. So you should, it's almost like when people do academics. When you finish first degree, you do a master's, then you do a PhD. And it's like the more you are studying it, the more you are discovering you don't know anything again. Because in fact, as you go PhD, you've forgotten the basics, you know, because maybe you are, a zoologist, then you study zoology, animals and whatever, everything together, then you do a master's, and then the master's, they say now they start teaching you a bit about the mosquito. Then you say you're on your PhD, you want to study the leg of the mosquito. By the time you finish and you know the leg of the mosquito, you've forgotten about all the other animals. Do you understand what I'm saying? So the more you know, the more you start discovering that perhaps you really don't know that much. And there's still so much more to know. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So tonight it's good to see you all, and I trust that we'll have a wonderful time. Pastor Adekunle is here with us. I trust we'll have an awesome time for the next 3 days. But let me welcome, help me welcome your neighbor first. Smile again and shake their hands and say, it's so good to see you. Somebody say, I don't feel like it. How many times do you go to family gathering and things and you don't feel like it? But you still smile and say, so do it again and say, it's so good to see you. Hallelujah. So tonight we have also in the house Brother Timon. And he's, I'm trying to remember now the name of their church at Maryland. Abby? Harvest Place, yes, at Maryland here. It's really good to see you. I haven't seen him in, 1993 till now. What's that, 29 years? Thereabouts. So it's really good to see you. Thank you very much for coming. And we trust that we'll see you again and again now. We trust that there's a reconnection. We'll see more. Hallelujah. And we have some of our leaders from Ibadan. Give them a surpassing welcome now. We have the soldier himself. Brother Ike Julius. I don't know if I have time to tell them the story yet. When somebody sold me a bad, VCD player. And they kept posting me, come back next week, come back next week, come back next week. So I said, Brother Ike, see me see trouble. I said, help me find SAS. I'll be, oh, what do they call them then? I said, help me find one of these people. So you follow me, I'll collect my money back. He said, let's go there. Man pass. So we entered there, I just stood in one corner like this. So I told him, I said, oh yeah, now, what are you doing? Replace it, give me my money, which one are you doing? The man kept looking at Brother Ike. Now after him, I said, who are you? Ike said, that's not none of your business. Just settle with him. So the guy said, oh yeah. amen. So that's the SGA police. Amen. We also have Sister Esther Olurumbi here. And of course, we have the resident pastor of Surpassing Grace Assembly, Ibadan. And his wife, who was here yesterday as a forerunner, Pastor Bolaji Ajobo and Sister Ronke Ajobo. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I think it's best I just introduce briefly our guest, isn't it? And then the choir will come up. And then right after, he can come up. Okay? So we know Pastor Adekunle, he was with us in November. Yes, he was with us in November, and we had a wonderful time. Hallelujah. He's a senior pastor of the Helper's House at Antony. His wife is my cousin. So we discovered, amen. He's an engineer by training, Abby. He's engineer like Pastor NY. So that's why they like each other. They speak engineering Bible. Hallelujah. But it's going to be a blessing to us, and it gets better. You know, one of the things I was talking to Brad Talks recently, and we're discussing about the fact that it's so much lovelier, perhaps, sometimes when you have a minister who can have 2, 3, 4 days. You know, he can build properly. You know, there's no hurry. He can just keep building on what God has in his mind. He's not rushing the things and gliding over them. Sometimes it's not possible, but when it is possible, it's fantastic. And what am I trying to say to you is that he starts to build today. So foundation, maybe he will build, put the house, he will do the roofing by Sunday. Amen. and we'll have a wonderful time. And what that means is that you don't want a foundation and then you miss the actual block and pillars, then you come and you want roof. Abi? That would be a strange house, isn't it? Yeah, so you want to be here today, be here tomorrow, be here on Sunday. And then you get the full dose of it. This weekend we've separated to just renew and restore ourselves in God's presence. Just fill up and be refreshed. So beyond the meetings also, we expect you to take a little extra time. Monday is a holiday. That's why we planned it now. So you can take a little extra time to pray and wait on God. And you find out that the things that are being said here and done here are just things to push you into something new. Hallelujah. Well, so tonight, very quickly, welcome with me the wonderful minstrels of grace. Give them a sup.
Can we just put our hands together for the choir then? I sense in my spirit that we should pray. What we waited for has come to pass. But you are the only one that can fill that gap. So I want us to be on our feet this evening. The Bible says, "A father of many nations I have made you." How many children did Abraham have then? When God was talking to him, Ishmael wasn't the one God was talking about. So he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Abram, but Abraham, for a father of many nations." I have what? My English is this. Made is what? Past tense. So God was looking at this man. He said, "Listen, Lord, let Ishmael stand before you." What did God say? He said, "Listen, I'll bless Ishmael, but a child from Sarah." That's the child I'm talking about. And he said, "A father of many nations. I have what? Made you." What we waited for has what? Come to pass. I don't know what you are waiting for. I don't know what you are waiting for. But just begin to thank him that it has come to pass. Just begin to thank him this evening. Just begin to thank him this evening. Just begin to thank him this evening. What we waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. Not what the Lord is doing. Not what he will do. Testimony is not just what God is going to do. There's a dimension that what God has done. And you can thank him. Saul and his servant were bothered over what they felt was lost. His father's donkey was lost and they were disturbed. And it came to Samuel. Samuel said, "Stop worrying about the donkey. What you are looking for has been found. What you are looking for has been found. What we are looking for has been found. What we waited for has come to pass. See what the Lord has done. See what the Lord has done in your life, in your family, your business, your education, your health, your ministry, in our nation. What we've waited for has come to pass." So he said, "Call your name Abraham." So he goes out the next day, they call him Abraham. He said, "Where are the children?" He said, "Don't worry. The father of many nations, God has made me." Years later, Abraham understood it. God said, "Go and sacrifice your son." And the son said, "Father, I can see the fire. Where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And the father said, "God himself will provide a lamb on a mountain." And he called him of the place Jehovah Jireh. And he says, "In the mountain, it what? It shall be provided." Let's thank him for what he has provided. Over the next 3 days, my prayer for you And for me is that I will see what he has done. That this halftime, I will see what he has provided. So that encounter that Abraham had with God that day was what pushed Isaac out. Was what made him the father of any nation. Isaac had to come. Why? God had done it. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this evening. See what he has done. If you read that place again in Genesis 22, it says, in the mountain of God it shall be provided. When it's provided, it is seen. See what the Lord has done. May we see the hand of Jehovah Jireh in the next few days in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you for your love. We appreciate you for your grace. We appreciate you for your help. Without you, we are hopeless. Without you, we are helpless. So Holy Spirit, we look to you, Lord. We depend on you absolutely over the next few days. Thank you for what you started with us yesterday. Thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for tomorrow. Thank you for Sunday. Thank you, Lord, for this renewal, this halftime. Thank you, Lord, for this God appetite that makes us operate as gods on the face of the earth. And Lord, we pray in the name of Jesus, as your word goes forth, apply to every heart individually, both those here physically, those who will be listening online and other ways. Father, minister to your own people. And at the end of the day, let your name and your name alone be glorified. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Praise the Lord. Good evening, everybody. Thank you very much. Let's put our hands together for Jesus. How are you doing? Good evening. Good to see everybody again. I want to thank the set man. Supposed to be my in-law now, but there's no yam for him. No ikokore, nothing. For inviting me. Thank you very much. I like the brand set man. I wish I could own it, but anytime I talk about him, I say Dr. Odubanjo, they say set man. I say, obviously, this brand is gone. So I don't know what I can do about it. Pastor Mwewa used to be my friend, but God has not done that one yet. Thank you so much. It's good to be here. And it's interesting that yourself and Pastor Timo, you know he's a pastor with Harvest Place. He's the set man of trouble there. Troubles the man of God there. You know, his pastor was sent into politics, so he took over this space. And God has been using him for a great job. So you've not seen him since 1993. Okay. Yes, that's what God is doing. Amen. That shows that you need to give them attention. I think I saw him last week. I've been seeing him since 1986. I feel I will see him again next week. But we thank God for life. We thank God for his help. We thank God for his grace. And I want to thank the set man specially for his love for me. Maybe because he feels that I married his cousin. You know, I'm trying to be careful here. I don't like going around too many churches. I don't like going around too many churches. And the reason is that I've been an actor and I'm myself, and I think I like to be myself. So usually when I come to places where I feel I cannot be myself, I usually try to avoid it. You understand what I mean? And I found out that one of the best places you see many actors is in church. Nollywood, Hollywood, that's where you have a lot of them. I've acted before. I too acted, you know, but it didn't pay me. You know the way we act these things now? You are dying. They say, oh, you say it is what? It is well. You don't say it like that. You say, it is well. It is well. Or it's well. Then you say, what those things they say? Ori of air, what do they say? You know those funny Christian lingos that we use? And I used it for a while too, until I saw that saying it well wasn't making anything well. So I need to tell myself, bros, if it's not well, say it's not well. I think I was telling them in church last week, Sunday. I think it was two Sundays ago. I can't quite remember. They sent this this story of this lady that died somewhere on the island to me. Some accountant in Glow, 47-year-old. In fact, you know, they wrote a very... And they wrote it to you. I'm sure you saw the line they wrote for you. You saw the right they wrote for... Man of God, you saw the right they wrote for you, Abi. You see the right they wrote for you? Good. They wrote everything. Then they slipped that line to the chief custodian of the stages where they act. You know I can talk here because I'm free. Good. This is the acting stage. Then these are also actors. You come and act. So they say she had no husband, she had no boyfriend, she had no child, she had, but she was rich, she was an accountant. What else did they act? She was going to church. See this man. She was going to church, she was active, she was a worker. What else did they write there? That she was now depressed, they didn't know it. You pastors, you are preaching prosperity. And he said some other things, then they slipped the story of Osinachi, you know, the lady too. They slipped that one also there and say, you church. And like, thank you for the message, we got the memo. All you're just trying to say is that we've created a stage that is extremely convenient for people to act. And you can act and act and act and come and preach like this and go and kill yourself. I read the story of a pastor in the US that built 50 member church is big in America. So for a pastor to build a 900 seat, you know, it's a big one. So they had two services. He went for the first service, second service, came to pick his family, and he said they should go to church, he'll meet them back. He blew his own head in his driveway. So the question I ask myself is, so this God thing, what exactly is it? What exactly is it? This is not 200 years ago. This is happening today. This lady died a few weeks ago. Osinachi sang, what's the name of that song? What does the song mean? You are the living God. What does it mean? Forgive me, I don't know. Somebody that says it and fulfills it. That's the name of Ekweme. Believe me, that song is amazing, powerful. I don't know the meaning. All I know is you are the living God. There is no one like you. I sing that one. But someone that says something and fulfill it. How do you sing that kind of song and how? How do you... I've spoken to pastors that are depressed. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen. It happens. But guess what? We don't get there in one day. We don't get there in one day. The signs are always there. Signs are always there. And the devil doesn't give you special respect because you are pastor, teacher, prophet, singer. Well, I wish I could tell you the devil would leave you alone. He doesn't. Even as I'm talking now, he's even telling you some things. I tell people, if he attempted Jesus, who? You know what I wanted to say, Abby? You thought I was going to say, who the hell? I wasn't going to say the hell. I was going to say, who the world do you think you are? Who do you think you are? I told them Jesus fasted for 40 days, yes? 40 days, 40 nights. What was the voice he heard first? No, I can't hear you very well. Let me be quiet. Whose voice did he hear? What voice did he hear after 40 days and 40 nights? Devil's voice. Does that fit in your theology? That after 40 days of prayer and fasting, who should you see? God. You've paid him for 40 days and 40 nights. So you deserve to see him. That's the sense of entitlement that gets Christians into trouble. Someone called me this morning and said, Pastor Nee, I'm leaving the country. I said, why? Hey, Pastor. I said, why? He said, can't you see what's happening in Nigeria? How can you choose, how do you call it, a thief and an occultist? There's no future for the country. I said, they chose a thief instead of your savior. What's your problem? He said, yeah. I said, you see your problem? This is how you get disappointed. This is how you frustrate yourself. Because you've put your hope in, should I call names? Let me not call names. Because a platform looks like Jesus. This is the platform Jesus will rise upon. Eh? That's why the Jews are still looking for their Savior till tomorrow. You think there's a way that the Savior of a nation or a country or a family should look like? It should come from this platform. So when they said Bethlehem, they said, can anything good come out of that place? So I said, because in your mind, you believe that if God is going to do something, this is what it should look like. This is what it should look like. This is what the person should look like. This kind of platform God should use. And it was on that platform, you begin to doubt what God has told you. And you know what the devil will do? He'll make you doubt everything God has told you. Then gradually, especially if you've gone to see your church that you are the one that will change everything and doesn't look that way. God is too smart. So I asked the person, I said, after they chose, is it Barabbas? I said, they did the real God's plan. I said, no. I said, follow purpose, not persons. Follow purpose, not people, not platforms. Follow purpose. God is too smart. So halftime, renewal, is a time to sit down and rest and think and ask questions. I might not be able to make you shout and jump too much. I hope I can make you think. The most popular book in the Bible is which book? Which book is the most popular book in the Bible? Psalms, good. And I guess it's also the longest book in the Bible. Good. I think the Psalms, you know, I've not read the Bible as much as most of us. I think it's the Psalm that you only, it's only in the Psalm that you see the word Selah. Is that, do you see it anywhere? What does Selah mean? Eh? It means take a break and do what? Think. Take a break. Think about the whole thing. Just reflect. Think about this whole thing. The book of Psalms is a very troubled book, you know. You see David talking about the troubles in his life. You see him talk about the highs and lows. And so for me, it's a very practical book. That's why most people go there. It's not like the books they like to read, you know. And, you know, they like to read the epistles, you know. They like to read all those stories about Paul and all those, you know. But people don't like that one, you know. Paul talks about this, you know. They like to read, oh Lord, my enemies, they want to swallow me. And all the rivers are trying to come over me. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock. Oh, you know, and the Psalm is a very comforting book. You know, it just goes up and it's a very comforting book. But it's a very powerful book because it makes you think. It makes you think. And that's the essence of this whole thing. And as I was preparing, man of God, I sat down and I said, who in the world calls a program God Appetite? Who does that? Set man. I said, can't he just make it a little bit marketing? You know those marketing titles? Who had marketers? See, unfortunately, I give it some swag, Abby. I couldn't come up with something better. I couldn't come up with something, you know, something more. Like halftime. Halftime itself is a message. Renewal is a message. Then there's God. So you see my notes. I wrote everything out for what this man has subjected me to. In Luke 12, from verse 54 downwards, God was saying to the children of Israel, general people, not born again. He said to them, when you see the sky look somehow red, you say that it's going to be, what? A rainy day, and you're right. It rains, right? And he said, you look at the sun, it looks some, you know, kind of way, you say it, and you're right. And he says to them, he said, verse 56, says, how come you can predict the signs of the sky and all that, and you can't do what? Discern the times. This is not the gift of prophecy, I hope you know that. It's the ability to read trends. They call them futurists in some places. It's the ability to look at things and say, based on these things happening, most likely this will be the outcome. And God said we should be able to read the trends. So as I began to prepare, I began to look at the trends. Then to make it worse for me again, he called me this morning. I said, I hope you are. I said, oh, Jesus Christ. He said, I hope you are praying. You know what I had to go and do? I had to go and pray again, God. Just in case I've missed something. You know, when you're not as spiritual as some people, you have to be. I went to pray again. God said, okay, you're all right, but. And God began to show me other things. And I thought I'd finish with you. So just in case you feel bad, I'm not the one. Your pastor did it with God. So I thought I was going to talk to you as an individual, but God said, no. Talk to them as individuals and talk to them as institutions. Talk to them as people and talk to them as a nation. And guess what? I looked into my note and it was there. It was right there in my note. I'm like, oops. Maybe I shouldn't have picked this call. I'll try not to pick it over the next few days. What's the time saying? If God wants to pass a message to the whole world, who would God talk to? It's in the Bible. Who would God talk to? But some, those of you who have not experienced me, this is the way I'm preaching. I don't know how to preach like the normal preachers. I mean, I'm not very good at it. Sir? Policeman, let me not go that way. No, how, if God wants to speak to the whole world, who will God speak to? You? Who said me? Yeah, that's why you're there. Who else? Who else? You can speak now. Let's see what will happen. Who else? How many people do you have on Instagram? How many people are following you on Instagram? Like 200. And you are the one that God will use. Exactly. You are the man. So don't mind me. Oh. Don't mind me. Oh. You know, good. There's a song they call Buga. Have you ever heard? He has heard it before. Good. So I came back from Kenya. I was asking my wife. I said, I heard this song, Yemisio. Yemisio. What's Yemisio? I said, what did you say? Huh? Don't try to. Oh, she said it to you too, both of us. My wife said, what did you say? I said, I've been hearing this song, Yeah, Miss You, Yeah, Miss. I said, what's Yeah, Miss You? Oh, he too is like that. Yeah. As a man of God, you know it. You know what I'm talking about? You don't even know what we are talking about. See. You see why God would not talk to a pastor? Tell you the truth. If God wants to pass a message to the world, you assume he was going to tell the pastor. Never, he won't. It won't go anywhere. Nobody listens to you. So I said, so my wife says, it's not Yeah, Miss You. I said, what is it? He said, it's let me see you go. I said, I was just hearing Yeah, Miss You. Yeah, Miss. What's Yeah, Miss? Who is Yeah, Miss? What's Yeah, Miss? The other one, I said, Barnabas. I said, who is Barnabas? I said, what's Barnabas? I'm telling you, nobody has answered me. I'm even looking for the boy. Why are you using people's name? Who is Yeah, Miss? Who is Barnabas? And you know, but good. Now, it's not Yeah, Miss. Oh, you thought it was Yeah, Miss. See what I'm talking about? See what I'm talking about? It's not Yeah, Missy. He's, oh, well, he says, and yesterday, me, I'm even better than you. At least I've known for about 2 weeks. He said, let me see you go low, low, low. I found out that song is the most, they said it's the most transmitted song in the world as of today. Huh? In the whole world. Not first, it was fragrance. I love that song. I sang it today. Which other songs do you guys sing? Tell me now. Pastor, they are still there. Tell me, you know, I'm one of you. What else do you sing? See what the Lord has done. It's not see what the Lord has done. We need God to do, but they are singing it. Which other one? You are God. They are not singing it. They are singing, you are singing. What else are they not singing? Huh? Glorious God, continue. So let me tell you how it is. God is too wise, that is in the Bible. When God wanted to move the nation of Israel, he had told Abraham that he was going to move them, right? He said he's going to take them from a nation, from a people to a nation. And he wanted to move them to where? Egypt. By the time he was telling him in Genesis 15, did he call them Egypt? He didn't call them Egypt. He just said, your people shall be strangers in a nation for 400 years. That nation became Egypt. And God needed to do something that will affect the whole world. Do you know who he gave the vision to? Pharaoh. He didn't give it to Joseph. He gave it to Pharaoh. You know why? At that time in history, Egypt was the most powerful nation in the world. And Pharaoh was the most powerful individual. He had the voice that everybody would hear. So God gave him the dream, but he didn't give him the interpretation. Dream without interpretation is what? Nonsense. Take note of that. Second one. So that dream that God gave, what's this man? Pharaoh, was what moved Israel from an individual to a nation. Why? When they were coming out of Egypt, they had become what? A nation. So that dream was important to God's purpose. The next dream that was important to God's purpose was a dream that was going to move not just Israel now, but the church, all of us, to become that nation that will take over everything. And guess who gave this dream again to? Daniel. Sorry, no. What's the name of that Daniel's boss? Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that image? I understand that the FBI or CIA used Daniel's stuff to check trends. So he gave me a dream and he saw these images. Have you seen people see EU and all that in those images? Have you seen people? Now, if you now look at it, all those gold, head of gold, you see Nebuchadnezzar, you see kingdom that have passed on this world, practically speaking. But why didn't he give it to Daniel? He gave it to a man, he said, you are the head of gold. That's why I was going to Dubai. If you read the book, My Vision, you know what the king of Dubai said? He said, at some point in the history of this world, Persia was the most civilized place in the world. He said, that's what we are trying to recreate. To let you know this thing is history. But he gave him the dream, but he didn't give him the interpretation. God has not changed. If God is going to do anything today to hit the whole world, tell you, guess who he's going to tell? He's going to tell somebody with the voice and the influence. But guess who is going to give interpretation? Us. But guess what we don't do? We don't listen to them. We don't listen to them. Why? What can they say? What can they do? Good. So as I was preparing for halftime, if you check your phone today and put the word halftime there, you know what will come out? Tops? I'm sorry, it's not going to be this. It's not going to be halftime renewal. I wish it was, because I'll be there. Like my brother here, that has 200 people. I have slightly just more than you, so we're in the same boat. Guess who you'll see? A lady called, who behaves as if we don't know the name now, but most likely I'll catch you. It's a lady called Jennifer Lopez. How many of us have heard her before? She's a sister, she's in the choir. She's in the choir. She a choir member? Jennifer Lopez. That's the name you'll see. Halftime. So she just came out with a documentary of her life, and it's called Halftime. And because I'm having time here with Pastor, that he could not give me a marketing title, I had to go and read it. It's a documentary about her life. And you know, she's gone through a lot of things in her life, you know, a lot of challenges and a lot of failures, and she's a Latino, people didn't think. I said, listen, people don't know that I'm very, I suffer from low self-esteem problems. And all this I've had to do, and had to deal with this, and have to deal with that. And she did the movie based on, there was a time they told her to sing during the Super Bowl, you know the Super Bowl, this thing they play. There was a time she had to sing during the halftime, and it really, you know, made her go on. So she did it based on that. And it's going to be on Netflix, by the way, next week. You know, so I do Netflix, sorry, sir. So those of you that want to watch it, go and watch it on Netflix next. But it's out in other places. But it'll be in Nigeria next week, Tuesday, Netflix. So they said this about her. She said, listen, this halftime after 50 is just the beginning of my life. I said, interesting. And they wrote about her failures and about the pressures and about she had. So I think when she was celebrating her 50th birthday, there was something that broke. Her husband was having an affair right then. And they just sent it to her. So it messed up so many things. And someone that did not say she has the Holy Spirit or have a pastor like me, she said, with everything I've gone through, my life is just the beginning. You know, and you know, things are happening, good things are happening for her. I said, listen, we have not seen anything yet. We are just about to start. What can you say about yourself? January, February, March, maybe the last 5 years, the last 10 years have not been fantastic. Jennifer Lopez doesn't speak in tongues. I don't know. Maybe she started speaking today. Doesn't know God. Like, in fact, they wrote global music superstar. That's what they wrote there. Global. I took the word global. And that thing is trending. And for me, the message is this. Now, how we interpret is a different thing. That God is saying, listen, no matter how the first half of your life has been, no matter how the first half has been, I'm just about to begin with you. Then I looked at it for Nigeria, because some people, depression just hit them since Tuesday or Wednesday. Someone said to me, he said, Pastor, we will start relocating. I said, to where? He said, ah, no hope. Can you imagine him? Christian said, no hope. As if God has just been killed. I'm telling you the truth. He said, no hope. He said, Pastor, do you know the number of people that have tried to relocate from this country now? I said, why? He said, there's no hope. He said, there's no hope. And as I was preparing to come just this evening, how old is Nigeria? 62 this year. Good. 62 this year. You know they say a fool at 40 is a fool forever. That's not very true. I don't know who said that because, you know. But if you look at Nigeria, I say, no hope, Abby. And God said to me, he said, Genesis 6, he said, my spirit shall no longer strive with man. The number of his years shall be what? 120. Half of 120 is what? 60. You don't have to believe me literally. So Nigeria is rounded up 60. He said, can you believe that your best days are just here now? Because when they say there's a casting down, Christians in Nigeria say there's a dying completely. He said, when they say there's a casting down, what you say? You will say lifting up. Then what? Light will begin to shine. So what we want to do about the next 3 days is, how do we become the people that brings the best out at halftime? The very first miracle Jesus showed us was to tell us that for us, yesterday cannot be better, should not be better. The very first miracle, John 2, they were running out of wine, things were looking bad, everything was looking bleak. He said, whatever he tells you to do, no matter how stupid, no matter how foolish, just what? Do it. And what did he tell them to do? Take what is ordinary, take wastes, condemned water, useless water, condemn people, things that nobody can refer to, those things that you have looked at in your life that there's nothing that can come out of it. That's what Lopez is using now. The pains in our life. He said, take it and fill the what? Water pots. And take the ordinary water that nobody will look at. Ordinary water. Ordinary you, ordinary people. People that they've looked at, that's nothing, that they will not even value. He said, take that and take it to the top. Take it to the chair of the events and serve yourself to him. And see. Now, what do you think the servant was going through when he was doing that? You take your sling and your stone. You take your, see what the Lord has done. You take all those your little stories. You just take it. And you want to give it to the most influential person in the room. Why? Because God says, do it. You think there's something wrong with you. So finally, and guess what? He didn't allow you to drink it. If they drink it, you know, if they drank, you know what they would do? They would drink water. That's the way this God works. So if you drink it, it will be water. Just say, take it and take it straight there. So the guy took it there and he gave it there. I'm sure he's like, well, This is, you know those days, servants, you have no value, you're just like chicken. You just look, you give me water, it's just dead. So the other one just said, this one is dead. The guy drank it. Okay. Drank it again. The guy like, maybe wants to be sure that. Then he calls the master of ceremony. He felt he wanted to report him that this is your servant. He calls him and said, come. Every normal person serves the best in the first half. The first 6 months, first half of your life, they serve, they do their best. When everybody's tired, they can now, you know, like the way Great Britain, you know, we don't call them great again. We've removed the great because they're not behaving themselves. We've given them Britain. Eh? Because, you know, like the first half, they've, you know, that's the way normal human beings are. He said, but you are a very abnormal human being. You are talking about half-time renewal. You are renewing this whole party when everybody is tired. You are just giving us new energy. He said, you are bringing what? Best. For the last. The guy too was confused. And that's how God will confuse you in the name of Jesus. Because you wonder, what exactly did I do? That's why nobody can take credit for it. What exactly have I done? What exactly have I said? What exactly have I written? The secret is the God part of it. That's where the God part that we'll talk about it. Whatever he says to you, do it. So let me talk about my foolishness. So I went to visit my daughter in school yesterday, Covenant. We slept there, so we were coming back yesterday. And because I'm not too sure of the road coming back, so I used Google Map. So it took us through this Abeokuta expressway coming to Lagos. I'm not very good with the road. So we get to a point, and we see a bridge. I think it's a new bridge. It says, on the bridge, it says, Oshodi Keja. The other one says, is it Okwoba or something? So my Google Map says, go to the right. I said, this thing is very stupid. I said, it so far, the thing has been taking me very good road, very good road. Road I did not know, but very good. Believe me, I was shocked myself, you know. And the time he told me I would get home, I couldn't believe it. It looked like a lie. 1 hour, 8 minutes. I couldn't believe it. Very fast. I said, so everything has been good so far. Just look at how senseless some of us can be. And you guys are too smart for this. So he now says, go right. I say, right is on that bridge now. Bridge is saying, Oshodi Ikeja. So my wife says, let's go on the bridge. I say, you this girl. I say, okay, what? I pull aside. I ask my brother, has only 200 people beside him, like another person, that maybe one person. I move by the side of it. I say, good afternoon, sir. I say, sir, I'm going to Lagos. I'm going to, you know, Ikeja, Oshodi, Lagos. Where do I park? He said, on top of the bridge now. I say, hey. I said, this man said on top of it. I just said, you know what I said? Dumb me. I said, you this Google Map. It's like, you don't understand things. You are beginning to misbehave. I just went on the bridge. It was clear. Down was clear. Under the bridge was clear. Up the bridge was clear. I just moved. As I moved, I just moved forward. I asked my, I said, where is this? The whole place was scattered. I said, where is this? He said, they call it Kotangora or Kwakangwa, whatever. I said, where is this? Mad traffic. I said, oh, Jesus, forgive me. Lord, I'm so sorry. I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for following this man's voice. You know why? The satellites are up there. Up there. I am down here. So I asked later, after I asked for mercy and I finally got to him, I said, come. I asked somebody, I said, under that bridge, where does it? He said, oh, it will take you through, is it abattoir, whatever they, and get you somehow at Ikeja. I said, ah, and I've gone through that route before. There's another bridge they've just constructed there. I said, ah. That's what happens when your appetite for Google Map has not been trained very well. You saw that my phone just misbehaved now. I'm training my appetite for Google Map to be following. So even here, I've been here before, I put on Google Map. That's where Pastor, that's why I said Pastor is smart. That's why I wrote God Appetite, because it trains you to really experience the halftime renewal. Let me tell you the truth. Halftime doesn't work for everybody. Some people, after halftime, that's when they beat them, yes or no. Like Nigerian Super Eagles. I don't know. I don't watch. You know, they go to this. They might even be winning halftime. They come the new part, they beat them up. So there's no guarantee that halftime you come in and win. It's what you do with that period. It's what you do with that time, that break, that interval. No matter how short it is, it's what you hear, it's what happens that literally changes your life. And my prayer is that over the next few days, since yesterday, you will hear something that will make this have time. And you see, the beauty is this. We are the ones that have problem with time. Tell you the truth. We are the one that says 10 years, 5 years. What God can do in 10 years, he can do in 10 days. I can show you on my phone now. There's a young lady that I mentor in the UK. She came last week. She just left on Wednesday. She's never been in a relationship. Never, ever, 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 ever. If I show you a picture, you know. And as at middle of April this year, she sent me a voice note. This one did not say it was well. She's angry with me and God together. You know when they're angry with your father, they punish the son too. Say, what have you people been looking at? I said, we just got to know how many years ago. All these years, I'm tired. There's no man. There's no this. I said, you know, you are taking your frustration out on, maybe you should take it to God, but you know, since you can't see God, it's me that they will give you to God. But guess what? They came to do introduction last week Friday to a man she had never seen before. So I asked her, I said, how long has this thing been? She said, Pastor Nee, 3 weeks. I couldn't believe it. I'm counseling with them right now. I can't share the whole story because I myself, I'm scared. But it's in the Bible. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such a thing? Shall a nation be what? Born. Shall change just come like that? But you read it to us in your Bible, that in a twinkling of an eye, that change can happen. So why do you think that it must take God another 6 months, another 6 years, another what, to rewrite the story of your life? Why do you think that heaven must shut down a little bit to change things for you? It doesn't have to happen. That right now, God has done it. That's what the choir sang to us. See what God has done. I will show a video clip in a few minutes. I will see if I can explain it. But keep the picture in your mind. Sorry, it's not one of your Christian movies. I have taken pastoral cover. Whatever you see is SON. And what they call that governing board that puts that rates movies, I've been vetted. So whatever you see, if it's not holy for you, if it's not fit your theology, don't hold me. You know the people to hold. All right? Can we? Don't worry, it's just a short clip.
By grief. On the eighth day, Artemisia whispered the seed of madness that would consume him.
Your father's words were not a warning, but a challenge. The gods can defeat the Greeks. You will be a god king.
Artemisia gathered the priests, wizards and mystics from every corner of the empire. They wrapped the young king in Cimmerian gauze dipped in ancient potions and set him to wander the desert. Till in a delirium of heat and thirst, he stumbled upon a hermit's cave. Xerxes passed the vacant eyes and empty souls of the hollow creatures that dwell in the dark corners of all men's hearts. And in that darkness, he surrendered himself completely to power so evil and perverse. But as he emerged, no part of a human man that was Xerxes survived. His eyes blazed like scarlet coals. He was stripped, cleansed, glabrous and smooth. Xerxes was reborn a god.
Okay, let's stop there. Xerxes was what? Was what? Reborn. I wasn't here yesterday. Did you hear Pastor's introduction? Where he spoke about this. Where he spoke about the end game. Is that what you call it? By the way, do you know end game is a... Pastor is connected. How many of you have watched Endgame? You know what Endgame? And of course, you know what Endgame? You didn't go to the cinema in Ibano. It's my children that made me watch it too. Endgame is Marvel, Avengers, or something like that. It's Avengers now, the one that is they keep the anger and the world ended. Good. So this is what Pastor said, just in case you think. He said the Endgame is what? What did he say? To be like, I didn't say it too. What was the end game for this guy? So, how many of us have watched that movie before? We want to be holy. Raise your hand very well now. Let's see. Let's see those of us who are carnal. Go on, let's see it. Let's see. Is only Mount Zion you watch? Oh Lord. So the movie is 300, that's part two, Rise of Empire. So the man there. The king that died just before then is called Darius. Have you heard the name Darius before? Where? Where? Good. Daniel. Darius. That's Darius. Have you heard the name Zazex before? Where? Where? Bible. Which part of the Bible? Let me give you another name. Ahasuerus. Zazex Ahasuerus. Do you know who he is? Esther's husband. Do you know who Esther's husband is? That guy. Brother Esther, sister Esther. That's her husband. You can't imagine it. You didn't know it was in the Bible. Sorry, can you believe Sister Esther was married to that guy? What is it? You can't believe it. Why will you believe it? That's why you need to increase your followership. So when Darius was going to die, he had this battle, and it's real in history. Now the story that in history, that battle. Okay, good. Let's not go there. So I won't take time. When Darius was about to die, he told his son. Did you see the son's face before he became a god? What did he look like? Like a nobody. Like a victim. The girl beside him, that one looked like a conqueror. That's the one that whispered thing. So the father said to him, he said, you know what, Zazex? He said, leave the Greeks to their noble ways. He said, only the gods can defeat them. You know what he was telling the son? Don't go near them. Me, your father, that I'm stronger than you. I went, I couldn't touch them. Don't go near them. But that lady put a desire in his heart. He said, that's not what he meant, though. He said, what he meant is this. You cannot defeat them like this. You need to be renewed as a god. So take a break from the world of men. And come back as a god. When you become a god, you will take care of all of them. Guess what they said to you? John 10, from verse 34 downwards. You are what? Gods. You are gods. You are gods. What he said has come to pass. You know why? Because you are gods. Now, what we'll look at over the next few days are the appetite. You know what appetite means? Sorry, what's appetite? Very quickly. Hunger. Desire. Desire. That woman put a... Did you see where she was whispering into his ear? She put a desire in him that, listen, life of ordinariness, where he was the victim, just was not enough. When God said to man, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it and have dominion. Do you know what he was doing? What was he doing? He was feeding a desire into you. And that is the desire that we must keep feeding. That's where the appetite is. You must keep feeding. You see, you feed it, poverty will die. You feed it, sickness will come. But you are fed. That appetite is so hungry, you are so hungry that nothing that comes to you can overcome you. Why? There is something that you are hearing, there's something you are feeding on that you do not see yourself again as the victim of any system or anyone. My prayer for you is that this halftime, your God self will emerge in the name of Jesus. I want us to be on our feet and talk to God. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Talk to God this evening. We are not trying to make you a God. That guy had to become a God. We are trying to, what's the word now? Reactivate. Sometimes when you've not moved your car for a while, the battery runs down. You need to jumpstart it. Want to take this half time to jumpstart your God nature. He said, they know not, neither do they understand. Psalm 82, verse 5. So they walk on in darkness. Everything is out of course. Everything is shaking. Why? The thing they are supposed to do, they are looking for government to do it. Whereas he said what? The government shall be on your shoulders. You are the government. They are looking to APC, they are looking to PDP, they are looking to America, and they are looking to others. I'm not saying they don't have their response. But he said, listen, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are God. He said, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. I have said, you are gods. All of you are children of the Most High. But because you don't know what is happening to mere men, is happening to you. Paul was writing in 2 Corinthians, he said, when you behave like this, are you not behaving like what? Mere men? What this is all about is to feed your God nature. An appetite for not being ordinary again. That never again will you see yourself just as a human being. He called us partakers, sharers of the divine nature. There is a human part to you, no doubt. But there is a divine part to you. And our prayer is that in the next few days, an appetite for your God nature, that God appetite that makes you run after God. Why? Because you are in his company. We're better than you. Talk to him this evening. Talk to him this evening. He said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst. Who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why? They will be filled. If you've come here feeling you are filled, you will not get anything. But you come here hungry to be who you really are. Then there is a fullness from God's presence. Talk to him this evening.